over the top singing. That was great. It blessed me and probably messed everything up. So am I going to have to testify? I ain't got a clue what to do.
I'm sorry. I can't stop thinking about the crippled man. And the man that keeps saying, well, he needs to serve him. I think about myself, someone that's dirty, that is crippled. I don't want to put them at the table and feed them every single week. You don't want to do those things for people that are mean to you. But the Lord does that for us. Yeah. We are mean to Him. We don't give Him praise. We don't say thank you for what He does. He does it for us.
Yes, He does.
And we can't even say thank you. We can't even put a smile on our face in the That's morning when we go to church. If we do go to church.
My health, go ahead.
Yeah, good.
I want to thank God real quick. Miss Rachel Perrin's my aide down at school, and we have rally bunch this year. We have 21 second graders, and I can tell that a lot of them need Jesus. And we have been taking it pretty slow, and Rachel and I have been talking about it and praying for them. And I didn't want to push them too fast. So I've just been trying to lay some groundwork in Bible. And this past Thursday, I was teaching on Moses and somehow got off on the salvation and about the broad way and the narrow way and talking about how Moses could have stayed in the palace and he could have been a prince and but how he chose to go and suffer with the people of God. And anyhow, God kind of got in there Thursday morning and I prayed about how to end the lesson and I prayed and I had them raise their hand if they wanted me to pray, but I did not ask them at that point if they wanted to get saved or repeat after me, because I never want to pull profession out of a kid. Like, I want it to be sincere. And I told him, I said, if you want to get saved, I want you to come to talk to me or Mrs. Perrin at snack time. And we had two more different subjects that we did, and then we prayed for snack, and I no more than said amen, and this boy jumped out of his seat. He said, Mrs. Nicholas, I want to get saved. And I took him over to the other room, and I got fixed. But he was so ready. He was so ready for Jesus. And it's such a mission to him. I don't want to take that lightly. And just that you get to pour in Jesus into those kids for 170 days. And I just pray for both of us that we can let our light shine. Some of those kids, even though are in a Christian school, doesn't mean that they're coming from a Christian family.
That is right.
And but that boy, he got gloriously saved. And he was just so happy. He had a smile on his face ear to ear the rest of the day. And I just want to thank the Lord for that. Amen.
Yes, amen.
Go ahead.
Amen.
I want to thank the Lord for saving me. I remember those boys.
Hey, yeah.
I just stand amazed to see at what God has done. Me and Gary got to go to vacation with John and Nancy. And what the Lord has done. You know, if you knew us before, you wouldn't believe it, but
boy, ain't that a bug.
I mean, we got up, we read our Bibles every morning. To be when no drinking, when no carrying on, when no craziness. We talk about the Lord, we sing, we laugh. It's what God has done.
Yeah, amen.
I remember coming this church years ago and Katie and I were just little. Now my grandkids are being taught by Miss Carolyn. You're talking?
Yeah.
Look what God has done.
Yeah.
We all fight silent battles. You never know what's going on in the pew. We come in the church and we try to smile and like everything's okay. You don't know what people are fighting in the past.
Right.
Last year life is tough. I was going through a real hard time. I didn't know what was going to happen about the thing. But the Lord showed up again.
Yes.
Amen.
And He fixed it all.
That's all.
He fixed everything. And now it's better than it's ever been. And I thank Him and I praise Him for being faithful even when I'm not.
Yes.
And I'm not a lot. But he always is. He can't fail me. It's not that he never has, but he can't.
Right, that's right.
And I appreciate him. And he gave me my basket. He lets me be in church with my family.
Yes.
I'm overwhelmed with him. I love him and I thank him for saving my soul, for keeping me every day.
Yes.
Jared, I want you to invite.
Yeah.
Would you help yourself? I mean, it's y'all.
Yeah.
We didn't come here to leave
right.
in a hurry.
That's
I didn't anyway.
I didn't either, babe.
Okay. Well, let's pray. Father, we surely have much to be thankful for and why you do the things you do, I don't know. But I'm going to thank you that you've changed the plans tonight, and I appreciate that.
Yeah.
Lord, you're so good. God, we're going to do our best to magnify you, God, and we might just praise and worship you a little while in here tonight. In Jesus' name I pray, and amen.
Amen. Amen.
Preacher told me 3 weeks ago, thereabout, he said, and you're going to preach last Sunday of September. Great, thanks. Appreciate the opportunity. And then some days ago, he said, hey, we're going to push you out. Jaden's going to preach.
Yeah.
Okay, you jerk. No problem, whatever. Yeah. And which is great. So glad Jaden got to do it and everything. But this is a true privilege and an honor. I've said it, and because I've heard it, and it's so true. I literally would have to step down to take Donald Trump's place. I would have to step down from this position to be the president of the United States of America. I am that dead sure of it.
Yes, I agree with that.
You don't understand the peace, the joy, the sickness, the loss of sleep, to get to do this. I don't got to do this. I get to. For 2 weeks, I've known what I was going to preach tonight. And it has been terrible. Because, not because it's not truth. Not that I wasn't wanting to preach it. I'd rather preach something else. Every time I get to preach, I feel like a horse at the Kentucky Derby with the little dude on his back waiting for that gate to fly open. I'm ready. I can't wait. I'm telling you. There's nothing I'd rather do than preach. I'm telling you. But God laid something on my heart. And I feel like I would not do Him justice if I didn't at least tell you the story where I got the stuff. But I was somewhere the other day, and there was a baby there, able to crawl, and someone that had that baby set the baby down on the floor. Well, there also was an open bag of trash across the room, and I said, hey, don't let that baby get in that trash. And the individual said, she don't even know what trash is. And I was, and the Holy Spirit said, hey, looky here, I'm showing you something. I don't learn much through deep study. You can, and I can. But God says, you see how this is? Okay, looky here. I want to teach you something. And when He said, she don't even know what trash is, the Holy Spirit said, there's a bunch of babes in Christ that ain't got a clue what trash is.
Amen. Amen.
I went from pages of notes when I first started to almost an index card. Like 7 pages of notes I had prepared.
Yeah.
Hours.
Yeah. Yeah,
hours. And I was going to preach on, that's trash.
Yeah. Yeah.
In your face, confrontational, going to make you mad, that is trash.
Yeah.
And I'm thinking, Lord, I'll do it. I'll do it. But, you know, something else. You know what I'm saying? Like, Lord, please. And he said no. And he said no. And he said no until about 20 minutes ago.
Yeah.
Here's an outline that I've not looked at for 6 weeks. I preached at Bethel. You know what it's entitled? Are you still living in Lodibar?
Yeah, I don't know. Yeah.
And he says, how about that one? I said, you're right. Let's do it.
Yeah. Yeah.
Okay. So if I could do anything tonight, it may not be the thought of, are you still living in Lodibar? Are you lost? Are you still lost? Are you still living in Lodibar tonight?
Yeah, that's good.
The king's at your door. Invitation, yeah. Accept it. Let's go to the palace. Sit at the table of the king. You don't have to sit in Lodibar and rot and die and go to hell. You can be gloriously saved tonight. So the tomatoes you all said you're going to throw at me, you'll be looking for bouquets of roses tonight. Forget the tomatoes. I will do my best to encourage you tonight. So here we go. I tell you, I heard preachers say all the time, how I knew what I was going to preach. And I got right up there and the Lord said, nope, changed. Why does he do that? Because he does all things well, I reckon. Okay. So anyways, when the day comes of that trash message, look out. So, everybody I talked to for a day of, I reckon the word would be venting of like, forget it. Forget anything I said. Okay? All is well. All is well. 2 Samuel chapter 9, one of my very most favorite stories in the Old Testament. Let's not say story, historical event. How about that? Starting in verse 1. Oh, Hunter, the 43 verses, forget them. Redo. Restart your list. You're doing good. Hey, don't take it up with me. Wasn't my plan. 2 Samuel chapter 9, verse 1. And David said, is there yet any? Is there yet any that's left of the house of Saul? You understand there was a God in heaven that he didn't have to ask because he knows all.
Yeah.
He knows everything. He said, but that little boy down there in Birch River lives up in Moore's Holler.
Yeah.
Is there any left?
Yeah.
That's me.
Yeah.
That was me.
Yeah.
He said, is there any left of the house of Saul? Not that I can go kill him because I'm the new king and eliminate the old king's family. So there's no way they can rise up and try to take the throne back. But why did he wonder if there was any left of the house of Saul? That he might show him kindness. That he might show him kindness for Jonathan's sake. You understand, when the Lord's searching you out or seeking for you, he ain't there to zap you. He just wants to show you love and kindness. He just wants to make you his own. He's knocking maybe on somebody's door tonight. You better accept the invitation. Verse 2, and there was of the house of Saul a servant whose name was Ziba. And when they had called him unto David, the king said unto him, art thou Ziba? And he said, thy servant is he. And the king said, is there not yet any of the house of Saul that I may show the kindness of Jonathan, the kindness of God unto him? And Ziba said unto the king, Jonathan hath yet a son which is lame on his feet. Are you understanding that? He said, he got one, but old boy lame.
Yeah.
He ain't no use.
Yeah.
He piece of trash.
Yeah.
He ain't going to benefit you nothing, old king. Are you understanding?
Yes, sir.
When God found you, you was crippled. You was worthless. You was dirty. You was of no use to him. But he says in verse 4, and the king said, where is he? Hey, he knew the condition. He knew his condition. He knew yours. But he said, where is he? Let's go get him. Let's go get him because I love him. Let's show him some kindness.
Yeah.
Ephesians 2, one of the greatest chapters in the whole Bible. And you, that's you, hath he quickened who were dead in the trespasses and sins. Verse 4, but God, who is rich in mercy, He's not just got mercy, He's rich in it.
That's right.
He's rich in His mercy for His great love wherewith He loved us. And that us involves you.
Yeah.
Are you all getting this? Are you understanding this?
Yes, sir.
Starting in verse 5, we see that the king sends for him. Let's go ahead and read. These notes don't mean nothing right now. Then King David sent. Oh, I love this word. Fetched. Oh, that's a good Bible word. Then King David sent and fetched him out of the house of Machir, the son of Amiel, from Lodibar. Does anybody in here remember the day, the moment, when the Father sent the Holy Spirit? He sent Him to us in our Lodibar, where we was, where you was, where nobody wanted to go. Jesus said, "Hey, I'll go. I got plans for him. I want him. I'll make him one of my own."
Yeah,
although he's crippled and worthless and dirty and a sinner, it ain't going to benefit me any.
Yeah, good.
He says, "Where is he?" And then the king sent and fetched him.
Yeah.
So the king sent for Mephibosheth, and he fetched him. So starting in verse 6, we see how the king blesses him. Now when Mephibosheth, the son of Jonathan, the son of Saul, was coming to David, he fell on his face and did reverence. You understand, that's about all we can do.
Yeah.
Who are you? Who do you think you are? Do you think you're walking, "Hello, king, what's going on?" No. No, no, no. You're a dead, nasty dog. You're going to fall on your face and give reverence to the king, because anything he wants to do with you, he can. You better submit and fall on your face and give reverence to the king. Does anybody remember when he did that? I remember when he did that. My favorite clerk said, April 1st, 2018, I give reverence, fell on my face, said, "God, I need you. Please save me."
Yes, amen.
And David said, "Mephibosheth." Don't you love it the king didn't say, "Piece of scum.
Right.
You dirty sinner, you. You dead dog." No, he said, "Hey, Jared. Hey, Jared, how about this right here?" That's what he said. He called me by my name.
Amen.
"Behold, thy servant." And David said unto him, "Fear not." See, he's a good king. "Fear not. For I will surely show thee kindness for Jonathan, thy father's sake, and will restore thee all the land of Saul, thy father." Oh, we're going to have to get back with this in a little bit. "And thou shalt eat bread at my table."
Yeah.
There's one more word to go.
Yeah.
Continually.
Yeah. Yeah.
We coming back to that. "And he bowed himself and said, What is thy servant that thou shouldest look upon such a dead dog as I am?" We just a bunch of dead dogs when God found us. Just a worthless dog.
Yeah. Yeah.
Then the king called. Let me say this. Don't ever focus on your Lodibar, but don't you ever forget it. Are you understanding that?
Right.
Don't you ever focus on your past, but don't ever forget where he found you.
Amen.
Then the king called to Ziba, Saul's servant, and said unto him, "I have given unto thy master's son all that pertain to Saul and to all his house."
Yeah.
We see the king blesses him. He fetched him. He blesses him. Shows kindness to him. Jeremiah Perrin, you taught me something the other night. You taught me that it's okay to look down and rely on my notes. I appreciate that. You've done very well.
Yeah.
Thank you. Verse 10. This is where it just gets... This is... It's too much. I'm telling you. Are y'all okay?
Yes, sir. Yeah.
Okay.
We're enjoying.
All right. Hoping there ain't a hearse sitting outside. Here we go.
Yes.
"Thou therefore and thy sons and thy servants shall till the land for him. And thou shalt bring in the fruits that thy master's son may have food to eat."
Yes.
But "Mephibosheth, thy master's son, shall eat bread alway at my table."
Yep.
Alway at my table.
Yes.
Whose table? The king's.
Yes.
Now Ziba had 15 sons and 20 servants. Then said Ziba unto the king, "According to all that my lord the king hath commanded his servant, so shall thy servant do. As for Mephibosheth," said the king, He shall eat at my table as one of the king's sons.
Amen.
Not a servant. Not a servant, but the king's son.
Yes.
He made him his own. Because he loved him.
Yes.
How he was.
Yes.
We didn't have to meet no standard to come to God. All we had to do was come off of pride.
Yes. Amen.
Ain't you glad for that?
Because
ain't nary one of us would have ever got in.
That's right.
Not nary one of us. Verse 12. And Mephibosheth had a young son whose name was Micah. And all that dwell in the house of Ziba were servants unto Mephibosheth. You understand?
Think about that.
Do you understand what just happened there?
Yes.
When Rick Childers got saved, Rick didn't just Rick get in.
Right.
I believe the Lord done set out about three more chairs down through there beside Rick. Because of Paul, Sam, and David.
Yeah.
See, Micah benefited of Mephibosheth being sent for and fetched out of Lodibar.
Yes,
what if Mephibosheth, which I don't know that the man really had a choice, seeing how David was a good king, he may give him a choice not to go. Here's a thought for you. I don't know if you're saved or not. But if you're still sitting in Lodibar knowing the invitation's there, you might be dragging your kids to hell by the hand with you.
Yes. Yes.
If you don't give in off your pride and get out of Lodibar, your kids are going to go to hell.
Yes.
And it's you. It's your fault.
Yes.
Because you didn't accept the invitation of the king.
That's good.
Don't. Why would you want your kids to go to hell just because you're prideful?
Yes. Amen.
Probably nobody in here is lost tonight, but that's just a thought. I have to say that.
Yeah, good thought. Good.
There's many that has went to hell because daddy wouldn't give it up.
Yeah.
You better believe it.
Right.
You better believe it. And you better watch yourself. Examine yourself. With that being said, this may be a good time to interject here. We have a place at the king's table.
Yes, sir.
Yes, right.
Are you always sitting at it?
Think about that.
Or have you hit the trail back to Lodibar?
Yeah.
Place of no bread to sit there and starve to death.
Yeah.
And dry up and be nothing for the king.
That's good.
Where are you sitting tonight? I believe choice is yours.
Yeah.
Choice was Mephibosheth's. I guarantee it. I guarantee.
Yeah.
That's like you in church. Some of you done out.
Yeah.
You sitting here, but you out.
Yeah, amen.
Physically, you're here.
Yeah.
Where you at spiritually?
Yeah.
You're down there at Lodibar, sucking up dust?
Yeah, amen.
Hey, I've been there.
Sure.
I'm very familiar with the path from the palace to Lodibar.
Hey, yeah. Yes, sir.
I'm very familiar. You, preacher? Yep. I don't know. Y'all probably think too highly when there's the title of preacher on a man.
Yes.
Don't be deceived.
Amen.
I'm wicked.
Yes, me too.
It's just by the grace of God.
Yes.
It's just by the grace of God that He's faithful and just to cleanse us from all unrighteousness.
Yes, amen.
Hey, I'm just saying, He'll come get you again out of Lodibar if you want.
Yes, He will.
You ain't got to walk back to the palace. He'll come get you. That old chariot of grace will roll up. They'll unroll the carpet for the child of the king. And they say, hey son, we got a plate waiting on you. We got some bread you can eat all the time. How about coming back? And I say, all right, Father, I'm sorry.
Yeah.
That's simple. That's simple.
Yeah.
That's simple. My grace is sufficient for you, for me.
Yeah, it's good.
Boy, the Lord's good.
Amen.
So Micah benefits from daddy getting saved.
It's just
a good thing all the way around.
Yeah.
I'm telling you.
Yeah.
So Mephibosheth dwelt in Jerusalem, for he did eat continually at the king's table and was lame on both his feet. Now, we fast forward here to chapter 21. And this is beautiful. This is absolutely beautiful. So, I can't get over this. I need to do something. David, come here. Actually, sit there. You're my Mephibosheth. Can't walk. What's wrong with you? Here. I got you, son. I love you. I appreciate you. I'm going to carry you to the table where you don't belong, Jerry.
Yeah.
All right, here's the table, and there's all kind of bread. You just sit there and help yourself. Chapter 21, starting in verse 1 through 7. Then there was a famine in the days of David, 3 years. Year after year, and David inquired of the Lord, and the Lord answered, "It is for Saul and for his bloody house." Hold on, I'm like little Joe Schaefer. Can't breathe. Phew. Part my teeth a little bit, get some airflow. All right. "Because he slew the Gibeonites. The king called the Gibeonites and said unto them," now the Gibeonites were not of the king's children of Israel, "but of the remnant of the Amorites. And the children of Israel had sworn unto them, and Saul sought to slay them in his zeal to the children of Israel and Judah. Wherefore David said unto the Gibeonites, what shall I do for you? And wherewith shall I make the atonement that ye may bless the inheritance of the Lord? And the Gibeonites said unto him, we will have no silver nor gold of Saul, nor of his house. Neither for us shall thou kill any man in Israel. And he said, what ye shall say that I will do?" And listen here, I mean, times were grueling back then.
Yeah.
We don't want money, we don't want gold, silver. Nah, that ain't going to cut it. Verse 5. "And they answered the king, the man that consumed us and that devised against us that we should be destroyed from remaining in any of the coast of Israel." Now listen to this. This is what they wanted. "Let 7 men of his sons be delivered unto us." Look, we want 7 of his sons. We're going to kill them. That's what we want. We want, as Barney Fife would say, revenge. We want revenge.
Yeah.
They was upset.
Yeah.
"Let 7 men of his sons be delivered unto us, and we will hang them up unto the Lord and give you up Saul, whom the Lord did choose." And the king said, "I will give them." Uh-oh.
Yeah.
Uh-oh, Mephibosheth. Did you make the list? Are you leaving? Look at the next verse.
Yeah.
"But the king spared Mephibosheth, the son of Jonathan, the son of Saul, because of the Lord's oath that was between them," between David and Jonathan, the son of Saul. Hey, when the world says, "Hey, king, Lord, we want yours," the devil says, we want him, we want him. Where's he at? He's sitting at my table. That's where you'll find him, but you can't have him. He's sitting there eating bread continually at my table. So when they say, "Hey, give him up," parents, when the world says, "Hey, give up him kids, it ain't worth it. Quit the punishing, quit the hard nights and no sleep of crying, of beating them, of going through this heartache, it'd be so much easier. Just send them to public school. Let them be babysitted there all day." When the world says, give them up. By the way, where are they? Sitting at the king's table. That's where they at, eating continually. So now we're going to look at the bread continually. You understand continually, that's like all the time. That's like never ending. So is Mephibosheth here in this little chair, this little man, broken, crippled? He's sitting there eating. He's sitting there. And I would say, if you're going to eat bread continually, there's an unlimited supply. Would you not believe that? Okay. So Mephibosheth's sitting here, and he's eating. And he's eating, and he got the table. He got the table plumb full. Here comes the waitress. He hears it. Door shut. Pushes it out. Trying to hurry. Pushes it out. "Oh, you got 18,000 loaves left. Oh, here's 20,000 more. You know, that's fine. Just take your time.
Yeah.
He's growing. He's eating the king's bread continually. He's growing in the Lord.
Amen.
As a king's son, not a pauper. I'm talking about as the king's son.
Yeah.
Made him his own, eating bread continually. So as Mephibosheth sits here a little while, a few years, you've been saved, first five years, may have been great. He ain't seen the waitress for a while. He's still got bread.
Right.
He's still got bread. No worries.
That is right.
Old David gets down about 10 loaves. He said, well, there was 50,000 here. Now I got 10. Okay, the door opens. Here he comes again. Boom, loads him down. Thank you, Lord, for your blessings on me. Roof up above me.
Yeah.
Shoes on my feet. Just the list goes on and on and on. And there's not much growth without adversity.
Right.
Are you understanding?
Right.
We've talked about this before. The laid-back Christian good old boy life. We ain't doing nothing for God. Your life's easy.
Yeah.
Your life's easy. Just keep your mouth shut. No complaining. You got it made. What do you mean by that? A lot of us live pretty comfortably a lot of the time.
Because
we ain't doing nothing for the king.
Yeah.
I'm talking, you step out to do something, look out.
Yeah.
But when you can come and be a bench warmer in the church, the same bench, and wear it out because you're always in it.
Yeah.
What do you mean? We're supposed to be faithful. Absolutely. Moreover, it's required.
Sure.
That he's to be faithful. What do you mean? I'm talking about, what if y'all should teach a class? What if you drive a bus?
Yeah.
What if you should get friends to sing?
Yeah.
What if you're downstairs and help with these angels?
Yeah.
I'm saying there's more to the Christian life to salvation than being a bench warmer. You need to be out on the field,
amen,
taking a hit and giving a hit.
Yeah, amen.
So we get into that. And Mephibosheth sits here. And as life goes on and adversities come, he's down to the last half loaf. He's down like, Lord, it's coming. I got to have this, this, and this, and I got to have it by this date.
Yeah.
Things ain't looking good. The bank's calling.
Yeah.
We're in the hospital dying.
Yeah.
We're in the hospital dying in some cases. We don't know that they're saved. Lord, I gotta have something. I'm on my last loaf.
Yeah.
Are you understanding?
Yeah.
It's not always. He's never stopped eating.
Right.
But the supply he can see,
oh,
it's dwindling.
Think about that.
Yeah.
It's dwindling. And you think, oh no, God, what are you doing?
Right.
This is, it's looking like Lodibar, a place of no bread. And you trust and you have faith as you take the last bite of what you got. We walk by faith, not by sight.
Yes, amen.
Hey, but before he can get the last bite swallowed, here's what he hears. I ain't heard that for a while.
Yeah.
Here he comes.
Yeah.
Here he comes again.
Yeah.
Hello, son. Eat bread continually. At my table.
Yes.
I'm telling you, you'll never go without, even when you don't see it coming and you don't see it on your plate. God's got it. He's got it and He's got you. You're never going to go hungry sitting at the king's table.
Yes.
Can we get a song of invitation?
That's
good. Song of invitation. So let me ask you this.
That's good.
Are you still living in Lodibar? Do you remember your Lodibar?
Yeah, that's good. Yeah.
David, you can sit back. So, if you're still living in Lodibar, if you've never heard the knock on your door of salvation, you're hearing it tonight.
Yeah.
If you're sitting here lost, there's no way God's not dealing with you.
Right.
If you're sitting here backslid thinking, I just made that trip back to Lodibar. Here I am.
Yeah.
Man, I miss that bread. I miss the warm bread with the butter melting on it.
Oh, yeah.
I remember when I was sitting there at his table and the king himself would bring it out to me. I remember.
Yeah.
Why'd I walk away from that? I don't know. Why did you? I know I did, because I love me. I don't always love the king. I love his benefits. I get used to him. I get sick of bread sometimes. That's awful. You're right. I'm unthankful at times. I got a church to go to. I got a Bible to read that I don't. I got a king I can talk to that I don't.
Yeah. Yeah.
Hey, you need to get your taste buds readjusted for this bread from the king. Don't get sick of what he's giving you.
Yeah.
Don't get tired of sitting at the table when it seems that other people got it better.
Yeah.
You got it as better, best as anybody could ever have.
Yeah.
So what I want to tell you is the bread don't stop. Okay? He's always got some making. His mercies are new every morning. It's not just a frozen piece of dough out of the freezer that he heats up. It is handmade by the king for you. So, invitation tonight's this. If you got a mouthful of bread, you ought to come thank him. If you walked away from the table, you ought to come back. If you're lost on your way to hell sitting in Loaded Bar, you ought to come get saved. Father, we thank you for your word. Well, thank you for a place at the table you made for me. Please help these people tonight get something from you. God, we thank you for how you do things. We love you. In Jesus' name I pray and amen.